Shalom, disciples, and welcome to the Shofar Message Program. This is Dan with my beloved soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford, your teacher and ongoing student of God's Word.
Toda, my dear, meaning thank you. And we will be in the book of Jude right around verse 6 in a few minutes. So just want to remind you that all our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net. Honey, please ask God for his blessing.
Okay, Abba, Father, your word says only you can know the end from the beginning and that we should trust in you alone and not lean on our own understanding, because we have full assurance that you will continue to direct our paths, make our way smooth, and keep our burdens light. Bless this program as well as the listeners today, and please give your ear to the personal request and the salvation of all of our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what importance is happening in our chaotic world today?
Well, it has been a couple crazy weeks, but I will try to be brief.
Our president has surely been a busy boy.
You think? The day after he nominated Judge Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court, he flew to the NATO conference, which was successful, with member nations agreeing to increase its defense spending to make it more fair.
Then President Trump went to the UK.
He did, and had, well, sort of a victory. But it did begin with a Trumpian verbal hurricane criticizing their prime minister, which then was written up in the local Sun News. And then there were thousands of anti-Trump protesters in London. But by the next day, our president made nice, which ended up with a trade promise and President Trump's grandiose compliments to Prime Minister Theresa May, who, by the way, is very loyal to the Queen, which is why she has been kind of slow-walking Brexit.
We know the Queen is against Great Britain leaving the EU.
For sure. But by the time President Trump's visit was about over, Prime Minister May said that they would be leaving the EU by next March. You know, the Brits are insisting on it, actually, because they are tired of giving vast amounts of money yearly to the European Union and being under the thumb of the EU's jurisdiction, including agriculture, fishing policies, etc.
And soon to enjoy an independent trade policy.
Well, then they will. And so, yes, America likes it too, because it's easier to make a deal.
Yeah, and then they visited the Queen.
Yes, and I was pleased that our president did not bow down to her and Melania did not curtsy, but offered her a handshake. Now, if you recall, they did not bow down either or kiss the Pope's ring last year, as the Bushes had.
And then came this week on Monday.
Oh, yes. President Trump met with President Putin in Finland, and it will take some time to find out what really occurred, if ever, since they met privately first for quite a while, one-on-one, with no recordings.
But it appeared that Putin had won him over by what we witnessed at the press conference.
Because President Trump inferred he believed Putin over our own intelligence when it came to Russia's interference in our elections. Trump said he saw no reason to believe Russia had hacked the 2016 U.S. presidential election to help him win. There's the key words, to help him win. And also said that Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial. Yes, he's good at that.
Yeah, you know, that caused an uproar over here.
It sure did. A very big backlash, even by fellow Republicans like Newt Gingrich. But Rand Paul was okay with it. And anyway, it's still going on. The Dems are saying he was treasonous and proves that Trump is in Putin's pocket. We'll see what transpires over the next week. The story is not over by a long shot.
Any good news?
Well, yes. President Trump and President Putin did agree to cooperate to ensure Israel's security on its border with Syria, which is getting pretty heated up. Now, remember the week before, that would be around July 11th, Prime Minister Netanyahu met with Russia first before Trump met with Putin, where Bibi asked President Putin to do what he could to rid Syria of the disguised Iranian infiltration into Assad's Syrian army that have been advancing closer to its borders on the Golan Heights, particularly in the area of the city of Quneitra.
Okay, let's turn our attention to Israel's southwest.
As we've been reporting over the last few months, Palestinians in Gaza have flown thousands of kites and balloons attached to incendiary devices that have set off hundreds of fires in farmlands and native reserves along the border with Gaza, and destroying tens of thousands of acres. And then, last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu returned to Israel with an even added barrage of rockets being fired by Hamas into Israel's north and south.
Yeah, over 200 of them so far.
About that, mm-hmm. But Israel's response was quick, bombing many tunnels, strongholds, and major infrastructures in Gaza, with warnings to Hamas to cease hostilities or pay even a heavier price. But since Hamas has been getting away with a series of these terrorist harassments for over 4 months now, and from what I see, the kites are still flying and the balloons too. So we wonder if they will halt the rockets, especially knowing what they think is planned to happen in the Golan up north.
So two fronts at the same time.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But now we'll see what Putin can do. And the latest reports are that Bibi has agreed to allow Assad to remain in Syria without harming him or his regime. And so therefore, Russia said they would get Iran to withdraw immediately from its borders and possibly all of Syria. The problem I see is still the disguised infiltrators of Hezbollah, Iran's proxy army. This could be why President Trump is making nice with Putin to ultimately help Israel, who's our real ally in the Middle East.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end time questions, either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll usually call you back. Well, we will call you back usually within 24 hours.
We will.
Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings, no matter how small they are always very much appreciated. Any correspondence will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate through PayPal or by clicking the Partner with Us button on the left side of our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching letters all archived for your learning pleasure.
Yes, you will. All right. Please turn to the book of Jude. Last week we looked at the first five verses, where Jude begins by qualifying the bride as being called, sanctified, and then preserved in Jesus Christ.
And that the Holy Spirit changed Jude's mind about the topic of his letter.
That's right. He was originally going to write a letter about salvation, but then he changed it to the importance of contending for the faith, because certain ungodly men have and still are infiltrating the body of Christ, teaching lewdness and denying the true gospel. Then in Jude verse 5, it begins with the first of three different groups of people God has pointed out for judgment. Now, starting back in the Old Testament of Israel's judgment, remember that golden calf incident?
Yeah. When God ordered the Levites to slay 3,000 Hebrews as a result of their idolatry.
That's right. Thus proving God is a jealous God, and judgment will come upon those who give allegiance anywhere else. Let's reread verse 5, honey, to stay in context.
Okay, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
In his promise at Mount Sinai, Moses told them he would be back, but still they made a golden calf to worship.
Yeah, they lacked his trust, even after all that God had just done for them in coming up out of Egypt.
Even parting the Red Sea and destroying Egypt's military. And we, too, know all the marvelous things that God has done for us. Salvation alone. And yet, if not aware, we can still mess up in that same category without even realizing it.
How?
Well, by allowing other things, like our golden calves, to take precedence before time spent with God in His Word. Let me add that it wasn't that they denied God. They wanted to add something along with God, something they could see, like the statue. And remember, in Egypt, there were many gods, and so their mindset was already pretty tarnished. And we do see that after the 3,000 were killed, God forgave those who were left and then rewrote the commandments on new stone tablets. So, there in just a couple of chapters in Exodus, we can see that God does and will judge the people. Now, we saw the one with Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea, and also the 3,000 Hebrews. And Jude doesn't mention the flood of Noah's day, but Peter does.
The point is, God will judge in His timing.
And the coming tribulation is the worst judgment of all.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, do you remember that judgment over the 12 spies incident where 10 said that they couldn't go into the land of Canaan because of the giants after God told them to? So God said, well, as your punishment, they would all die, and only their descendants, 40 years later, would enter the promised land along with Joshua and Caleb.
I know the question often comes up, where did their spirits go?
Ah, yes, it does. Well, first off, remember, they were covered under the blood of the Lamb in Exodus 12. Remember, on the door, on that doorpost? And yes, because that was a picture of a future Christ. And yes, they did sin by their disobedience. But Scripture does record they repented in Numbers 14:40. So their punishment was just not seeing the promised land. But I do believe their spirits went to Abraham's bosom until Christ's resurrection set them free to enter heaven awaiting, they're still awaiting, the future resurrection, our resurrection, when we will all receive our new bodies. So, let's move to verse 6 to see how God judged another different kind of group. And I must point out, as we did last week, how very nonchalant Jude speaks about it, like so matter-of-factly. And that should tell us something, because today, well, the fallen angels are seldom talked about and certainly not taken literally. But could you read verse 6, dear?
Yes, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
Shows us that the angels have a free will.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? And notice this, that they are reserved for the day of judgment. That's the coming world's judgment, because the fallen angels have already been sentenced. God will let them out of their chains to return to earth as part of the punishment.
Yeah, which is why we cannot be here.
That's right. Jesus took our judgment to the cross.
Yes, He did.
So when we die, we go immediately to be with the Father. And let's confirm all that in 2 Peter 2, verses, 4 through 7. Yeah.
God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly and delivered righteous Lot, who was opposed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
They were oppressed.
Yeah.
Wow. They were an example for those who would live ungodly afterward. We, I believe, are in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. And like Lot, we are oppressed by the filth surrounding us. And also, like Lot, we will leave before the judgment begins. That I can assure you. Make sure you read Luke 17 again. But as you might know by now, I take the Bible literally whenever possible. Of course, taking into account the customs of the day, or if it is an obvious metaphor and actually tells us it's like something else. An example would be in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, "My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag." So he uses the words like a. Okay? So anyway, the New Testament says that there are some angels who are now in chains, under darkness, waiting for the great day because they rebelled and left their own proper abode. I believe that to be literal. Now, New Testament Jude doesn't have to say what they did when they left heaven because he assumes we already know from Genesis, particularly chapter 6, or even other historical writings like the writings of Enoch, whom Jude actually references in verse 14, so we know he read it. Therefore, Jude is just reminding us that God does judge, and he will remind us of that again in verse 7. So, in case you haven't read Genesis, especially chapter 6, let's recall what these angels, who, by the way, are called the sons of God in the Old Testament. Let me tell you why. Because they were directly created by God. Directly. So, what did they do to cause this horrific judgment? Let me read to you Genesis 6, 1 and 2. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," those are the angels, "saw the daughters of men, that they were good. And they took them women." Now, your Bible says wives, but the word is isha, which means women. "So they took women of all which they chose." And then we know from verse 4, it explains that they came into the women and produced giants. Now, we know that angels can change to look like normal men, as in the case of Abraham's visitors. And remember, then they went on to Sodom and Gomorrah and how the Sodomite men desired them. Refamiliarize yourself by reading Genesis chapter 18 and 19. Now, let me say again, because it's important. The reason angels had the title sons of God is because they were directly created by God. This is also why Adam had this title, but yet his descendants do not. Now, the reason we in the New Testament and as the bride of Christ also carry this title is because we are indwelled by the Trinity and believers, betrothed to Jesus Christ, and therefore adopted into the family of God. So, there are three to be called the sons of God: angels, Adam, and the bride of Christ. I must also mention there are some who say that the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, who married the daughters of the evil Cain. I totally disagree, for how would they have produced giants? It just wasn't in their genes. So, let's confirm. Let's look at the book of Job, actually, first here. God in the book of Job uses the term also sons of God when he describes who was with him, who was with God at the time of the creation. Job 1 verse 6 says this: Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Okay? Now in chapter 2, verse 1, it says the same thing. At another time when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now, in chapter 38 is where God reveals his omnipotence to Job. And it's really clear that the sons of God were indeed the angels. Let me read it to you. Again, God is speaking to Job in chapters 38, verses 4 through 7. God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They were there with him." Obviously, we see that the sons of God were with God at the time before the creation of man. So again, in chapter 6 of Genesis, we read that these sons of God chose. That means they had a free will. And they chose to leave their abode. Now, that can mean heaven, which we know that's true, but also their abode could mean their looks. And they mated with women who looked good to them, and they produced giants. So, I know that's a lot to deal with, and there's a lot of discrepancies about what it says, but again, if you take the Bible literally, it really is quite plain. And we know there's giants. We've got lots of archaeological evidence for that. And we'll take this up more next week, but in the meantime, I hope that you'll do your own study, because remember, I'm only supposed to stir you up, and I think this topic probably does stir up a few of you. So do your own homework. For even if you come to a different conclusion, the point is you are studying, and that's what really pleases him, and he will surely bless you for it. So, if you're listening out there and you still have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, do it right now, because God suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your entire debt for sins, if you want it. He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door," and that's of your heart, "and he's knocking." If you are hearing his voice right now, he just says, "Open the door. I will come into you, and I will dine with you, and you with me." I know you hear his voice. If you're listening, it's no accident that you tuned in today, and he's knocking at your heart right now. But always know, he won't crash it in. It's your choice, just like the angels. It's your move. You can be the beneficiary of this love story, written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. And I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace, that real shalom that we all desire and we all can have. But again, it's your choice. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. Keep looking up. He's coming soon. And pray for your country and our president.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.